Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. This is Amin Yasir Muhammad calling for my show, The Good Life, Holy Quran, Sister Claire Muhammad, Education Hours. We say, A'udhu Billahi Min Shaitan Rajeem, Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. We seek Allah's protection from Satan rejected. We say, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Start off with Al-Fatiha. Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm al-Din, Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'een, Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim, Sirata al-ladhina an'amta 'alayhim, Ghayri al-maghdubi 'alayhim wa lad-dhaalleen. Ameen. Bismillah wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. This is The Good Life, Holy Quran, and Sister Claire Muhammad Education Hour. We traditionally start off reading 130th of the Holy Quran, and we will begin doing that. Alhamdulillah, Lajba, Shaitan Rajim. Strongest among men in enmity to the believers will thou find the Jews and pagans, and nearest among them in love to the believers will thou find those who say we are Christians, because among these are men devoted to learning, and men who have renounced the world, and they are not arrogant. And when they listen to the revelation received by the messenger, thou wilt see their eyes overflowing with tears, for they recognize the truth. They pray, our Lord, we believe, write us down among the witnesses. What cause can we have not to believe in Allah? Alhamdulillah. What cause can we have not to believe in Allah and the truth which has come down to us, seeing that we long for our Lord to admit us to the company of the righteous? And for this, their prayer hath Allah rewarded them with gardens, with rivers flowing underneath their eternal home. Such is the recompense of those who do good, and those who reject faith, belie our signs, they shall be companions of hellfire. O ye who believe, make not unlawful the good things which Allah has made lawful for you, but commit no excess, for Allah loves not those given to excess. Eat of the things which Allah has provided for you, lawful and good, but fear Allah in whom ye believe. Allah will not call you to account for what is futile in your oaths, but he will call you to account for your deliberate oaths. For expiation, feed 10 indigent persons on a scale of the average for the food of your families, or clothe them, or give a slave his freedom. If that is beyond your means, fast for 3 days. That is the expiation for the oaths ye have sworn. But keep to your oaths, just as Allah make clear to you his signs, that ye may be grateful. So ye believe, intoxicants and gambling, dedication of stones and divination by arrows are an abomination of Satan's handiwork. Excuse such abomination that ye may prosper. Satan's plan is but to incite enmity and hatred between you with intoxicants and gambling, and hinder you from the remembrance of Allah and from prayer. Will you not then abstain? Obey Allah and obey the messenger. Beware of evil. If you do turn back, know ye that it is our messenger's duty to proclaim the message in the clearest manner. On those who believe and do deeds of righteousness, there is no blame for what they are in the past. When they guard themselves from evil and believe and do deeds of righteousness, or again, guard themselves from evil and believe, or again, guard themselves from evil and do good. For Allah loves those who do good. or you believe, Allah just but make a trial of you in a little matter of gain well within reach of your hand and your lances, that he may test who fears him unseen and who transgress thereafter will have a grievous penalty. O ye believe, kill not game while in the sacred precincts or in pilgrim garb. Many of you do so intensely. The recompense, the compensation is an offering brought to the Kaaba of a domestic animal, equivalent to the one he killed, as judged by two just men among you, or by way of atonement, the feeding of your indigent, or its equivalent in fast, that he may taste of the penalty of his deed. Allah forgives what is past for repetition. Allah will exact from him the penalty, for Allah exalted and Lord of retribution. Offer to you the pursuit of water game and its useful food for the benefit of yourselves, for those who travel, but forbidden is the pursuit of land game as long as you are in the sacred precincts or in pilgrim garb. And fear Allah, to whom you shall be gathered back. Allah made the Kaaba the sacred house and asylum of security for men, as also the sacred mosque, also the sacred. Allah made the Kaaba the sacred house and asylum was created for men, as also the sacred mosque. The animals for offering before the gardens that marked them, that you may know that Allah has full knowledge of what is in the heavens and on earth. That Allah is well acquainted with all things. I know you that Allah restricting punishment, that Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. The messenger's duty is but to proclaim the message, that Allah knoweth all that ye reveal and ye conceal. Say not equal that things that are bad and things that are good. Even though the abundance of the bad may dazzle thee, so fear Allah, or ye understand that so ye may prosper. When ye believe, ask not questions about things which is made plain to you may cause you trouble. But if you ask about things when the Quran is being revealed, they will be made plain to you. I will forgive those for Allah is all forgiving, most forbearing. Some people before you did ask such questions. On that account, lost your faith. It was not Allah who instituted superstitions like those of slit ear she camel or the she camel let loose for free pasture, or idol sacrifices for twin births in animals, or stallion camels free from work. It is blasphemous to invent a lie, that's Allah. But most of them lack wisdom. When he said to them, come to what Allah has revealed. Come to the message, they say, enough of us. In other words, we found our fathers fine. Even though their fathers were void of knowledge and guidance. If you believe, guard your own souls. If you follow right guidance, no hurt can come to you. Even those who stray, the goal you all is to Allah. It is He that will show you the truth of all that you do. Oh, you believe, when death approaches any of you, take witness among yourselves in making bequests to just men of your own brotherhood or others from outside. If you are journeying through the earth and the chance of death befalls you, thus, if you doubt the truth, retain them both after prayer and let them both swear by Allah. We wish not in this for any worldly gain, even though the beneficiary be our near relation. We shall hide not the evidence before Allah. If we do, then behold, the sin be upon us. But if it gets known that these two were guilty of the sin of perjury, let two others stand forth in their places nearest and kin from among those who claim lawful right. Let them swear by Allah. We affirm that our witnesses is truer than that of those two, that we have not trespassed beyond the truth. If we did, behold, the wrong be upon us. That is most suitable, that they may give the evidence in its true nature and shape, or else they would fear the other oaths would be taken after their oaths. Fear Allah and listen to His counsel, for Allah guides not a rebellious people. One day will Allah gather the messengers together and ask, what was the response we received from men to our teaching? They will say, we have no knowledge. It is Thou who knowest in full all that is hidden. But we shall tell you. Then will Allah say, O Jesus, the Son of Man, recount my favor to thee and to thy mother. Behold, I strengthen thee with the Holy Spirit, so that thou didst speak to the people in infancy and maturity. Behold, I taught thee the book of wisdom, the law and the gospel. Behold, thou didst make out of clay the figures of birds by my leave, and thou didst breathe unto it, and it becometh a bird by my leave. Thou didst heal those born blind, and the leper by my leave. Behold, thou didst bring forth the dead by my leave, and behold, I did restrain the children of Israel from violence to thee. And thou didst show them the clear sign, and the unbelievers among them said, this is nothing but evident magic. And behold, I inspired the disciples to have faith in me. The nine messengers, they said, we have faith, and do thou bear witness that we bow to Allah as Muslims. Behold, the disciples said, O Jesus, Son of Mary, can thy Lord send down to us a table set with viands from heaven? Said Jesus, fear Allah if you have faith. Fear Allah if you have faith. He said, the only way thou can satisfy our hearts is to know that thou hast indeed told us the truth, and that we ourselves may be witnesses to the miracle that Jesus, the Son of Mary, O Allah, our Lord, send us from heaven a table set with beyond, that there may be for us and for the first and the last of us a solemn festival and a sign from thee, and provide for our sustenance, for thou art the best sustainer of our needs. But I said, I will send it down unto you. But if any of you alhamdulillah, the Jesus, Son of Mary, O Allah, our Lord, send us from heaven a table set with viand, that there may be for us, for the first and last of us, a solemn festival, and a sign from thee, to provide for our sustenance, for art the best sustainer of our needs. But I said, I will send it down unto you. If any of you after that resistance faith, I will punish him with the penalty such as I have not inflicted on anyone among all the peoples. And behold, Allah will say, O Jesus, the Son of Mary, didst thou say unto men, worship me and my mother as God in derogation of Allah? He will say, glory to thee. Never could I say, or have no right to say, had I said such a thing, thou wouldest indeed have known it. Thou knowest what is in my heart, though I know not what is in thou, in thine. For thou knowest in full all that is hidden. Never said I to them, God, except what thou didst command me to say, to wit, worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord. And I was a witness over them whilst I dwelt among them. When thou didst take me, thou wast the watcher over them, and thou art witness to all things. Thou dost punish them, they are thy servants. Thou dost forgive them, thou art exalted in power, wise. And I would say, this is the day on which the truth will profit their truth. Here is our garden with roots flowing beneath. Their eternal home, Allah, well pleased with them. Today with Allah, that is the great salvation, fulfillment of all desires. The law does belong to the dominion of the heavens and the earth. Law that is therein. And it is he who has power over all things. Lord. Praise be to Allah who created the heavens and the earth and made the darkness and the light. Eternal Rajim. Yet those who reject faith hold others as equal with their guardian Lord. He it is who created you from clay and then he created a state of terror for you. And there is in his presence another determined term, yet you doubt within yourself. He is Allah in the heavens and on earth. He knows what you hide and what you reveal. He knows the recompense which you earn by your deeds. But never did a single one of the signs of their Lord reach them, but they turned away therefrom. And now they reject the truth when it reaches them. But soon shall they learn the reality of what they used to mock at. See they not how many of those before them we did destroy? Generations we had established on the earth in strength, such as we have not given to you, for whom we poured out rain from the skies in abundance and gave flowing streams from beneath their feet. Yet for their sins we destroyed them, raised in their wake fresh generations to succeed them. We had sent unto thee a written message on parchment so that they could touch it with their hands, the unbelievers would have been sure to say, "This is nothing but obvious magic." They say, "Why is not an angel sent down to him? If he did send down an angel, the matter would be settled at once. No respite would be granted them. If we had made it an angel, we should have sent him as a man, and we should certainly have caused them confusion, the matter which they have already covered with confusion. Mock were many messages before thee, but their scoffers were hemmed in by the thing that they mocked. They traveled through the earth and see what was the end of those who rejected truth. Say to whom belongeth all that is in the heavens and on earth. Say to Allah, he has inscribed for himself the rule of mercy, that he will gather you together for the day of judgment. There is no doubt whatever. It is they who have lost their own souls that will not believe. To him belongeth all that dwelleth or lurketh in the night and the day. For he is the one who heareth and knoweth all things." They shall I take for my protector any other than Allah, the maker of the heavens and the earth. And he it is that feedeth, but is not say nay, but I am commanded to be the first of those who bow to Allah in Islam. And be not thou of the company of those who join God with Allah. Alhamdulillah. Say, I would, if I disobey my Lord, indeed have fear of the penalty of a mighty day. And that day is the penalty of the relief from any it is due to Allah's mercy. That would be salvation, the obvious fulfillment of all desires. Challenging the blessing system. If Allah tests thee with affliction, none can remove it but He tests thee with happiness. He has power over all things. He is irresistible, watching from above over his worshippers. And he is wise, acquainted with all things. Say, what thing is most weighty in evidence? Say, Allah is witness between me and you. The Quran has been revealed to me by inspirations that I may warn you all whom it reaches. Can you possibly bear witness that besides Allah there is another God? Say, nay, I cannot bear witness. Say, but in truth, he is the one God, and I truly am innocent of your blasphemy of joining others with him. Those to whom we have given the book know this as they know their own sin. Those who have lost their own souls refuse, therefore, to believe. Who does more wrong than who invents a lie against Allah or rejecting his signs? But verily the wrongdoers never shall prosper. One day shall we gather them all together. We shall say to those who prescribe partners to us, where are the partners whom you invented and talked about? There will then be left no substitutes for them, but to say, by Allah, our Lord, we were not those who joined God with Allah. Behold how they lie against their own souls. But the lie which they invented will lead them in the lurch. On them there are some who pretend to listen to thee, but we have thrown veils on their hearts, for they understand it not, and deepness in their ears. If they saw every one of the signs, they will not believe in them. In so much that when they come to thee, they but dispute with thee. The unbelievers say these are nothing but tales of the ancients. Others they keep away from it, and themselves they keep away. But they only destroy their own soul, and they perceive it not. Learn this, your turn. If thou couldst conceive, then they are confronted with the fire, they will say, would that we were but sent back, then would we not reject the signs of our Lord, but would be amongst those who believe, yea, in their own eyes will become manifest, yea, in their own eyes will become manifest, but before they conceal, but if they were returned, they would certainly relapse in the things they forbidden, for they are indeed liars. They sometimes say there is nothing except our life on this earth, and never shall we be raised up again. If thou couldst but see, when they are confronted with the Lord, he will say, they will say, yea, by our Lord, he will say, they see then the penalty because you rejected faith. Lost indeed are they who treated as falsehood, that they must meet Allah until on a sudden the hour is on them. They say, oh, woe unto us that we took no thought of it. For they bear the burdens on their backs, and even indeed are the burdens that they bear. What is the life of this world but play and amusement? But best is the home in the hereafter for those who are righteous. We not yet understand the language. We know indeed the grief which their words do cause thee. It is not thee they reject, it is the signs of Allah, which the wicked condemn. Rejected were the messenger before thee, with patience and constancy they bore their rejection and their wrongs until our aid did reach them. There is none that can alter the words of the decrees of Allah. Already hast thou received some account of those messengers. If their stunning is hard on thy mind, yet if thou were able to seek a tunnel in the ground or a ladder for the skies and bring them a sign, would good, if it were Allah's will, he could gather them together unto true guidance. So be not thou amongst those who are swayed by ignorance and impatience. Those who listen in truth, be sure, will accept as to the dead. Allah will raise them up. Then will they be returned unto him. They say, why is not a sign sent down to him from his Lord? Then Allah has certainly power to send it down a sign, but most of them understand that. Allah has certain the power to send down a sign. Most of them understand not. There is not an animal that lives on the earth, nor a being that flies on its wings, but forms part of communities like you. Nothing have we omitted from the book, and they all shall be gathered to the Lord in the end. Let me see. Those who reject our signs are deep and down. The midst of darkness profound. From Allah willeth, he leaveth to wander. From he willeth, he places on the way that is straight. They think ye to yourselves, if there come upon you the wrath of Allah, or the hour that ye dread, would ye then call upon other than Allah? Replied, ye are truthful. Nay, on him would ye call, and if it be his will, he would remove the distress which occasions your call upon him, and ye will forget the false gods which ye joined with him. Before thee we sent a message to many nations, and we have afflicted the nations with suffering and adversity, that they might learn humility. When the suffering reached them amongst, why then did they not learn humility? On the contrary, their hearts became hardened, and Satan made their sinful acts seem alluring to them. But when they forgot the warning they had received, we opened to them the gates of all good things, until in the midst of their enjoyment of our gifts, on a sudden we called them to account, when lo, they were plunged in despair. For the wrongdoers, the last remnant was cut off, Praise be to Allah, Creator of the world. Say thank you, Allah, took away your hearing and your sight and sealed up your hearts. Who a God other than Allah could restore them to you? See how we explain the signs by various symbols that they turn aside. They think ye that the punishment of Allah comes to you, whether suddenly or openly, will any be destroyed except those who do wrong? Send the messages on to give good news and to warn to those who believe and end their lives. Upon them shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. For those who reject that sign, them shall punishment touch, for that they cease not from transgressing. Say, I tell you not that with me are the treasures of Allah, nor do I know what is hidden, nor do I tell you I am an angel. I but follow what is revealed to me. Say, can the blind be held equal to the seeing? Do not then consider, will you then consider not? Give this warning to those in whose hearts is decreed that they will be brought to judgment before their Lord. Except for him, they have no protector or intercessor, that they may guard against evil. Send not away those who call on their Lord morning and evening, seeking his face, and not art thou accountable for them, and not are they accountable for thee, that thou shouldest turn them away, and thus be one of the unjust. Thus did we try some of them by comparison with others, that they should say, is it these that Allah hath favored from amongst us? If not Allah, know best those who are grateful. When those come to thee who believe in our signs, say, peace be on you. Your Lord hath inscribed for himself the rule of mercy. Verily, if any of you did evil in ignorance, and thereafter repented, amended his conduct, for he is all forgiving, most merciful. Thus do we explain the signs in detail, the way of the sinners may be shown up. Say, I am forbidden to worship those other than Allah whom ye call upon. Say, I will not follow your vain desires. If I did, I would stray from the path and be not of the company of those who receive guidance. Say, for me, I work to a sign for my Lord. If you reject him, which he receive hasten, is not in my power. The command rests with none but Allah. For he declares the truth, and he is the best of judges. Say, if you would see hasten the word in my power, the matter would be settled at once between you and me. For Allah knoweth best those who do wrong. With him are the keys. Alhamdulillah. With him are the keys of unseen, the treasure that none knoweth but he. He knoweth whatever there is in the earth and in the sea, how the leaf does fall. For that should tell Jesus, him other keys of unseen, the treasure that none knoweth but he. He knoweth whatever there is on the earth and in the sea, how the leaf does fall with his knowledge. It's not a grain in the darkness or depths or the earth nor anything fresh or dry, green or withered, but is inscribed in a record clear to those who can read. Is he who doth take your souls by night and hath knowledge of all that ye done by day. By day doth he raise you up again, that a term appointed be fulfilled. The end unto him will be your return, then he will show you the truth of all that you did. He is irresistible, watching from above over his worshipers. And he says, God is over you at last. When death approaches one of you, our angels take his soul, and they never fail in their duty. Then are they returned unto Allah, their true protector. Surely is his command, and he and his sisters in taking account. Say, who is it that delivers you from the dark recesses of the land and sea? When you call upon him in humility and in silent terror, if he only delivers us from these dangers, we vow we shall truly show our gratitude. Say, it is Allah that delivers you from these and all other distresses, and yet you worship false gods. Say, your power to send calamities on you from above and below, or to cover you with confusion and party strife, giving you a taste of mutual vengeance, each from the other. See how we explain the signs by various symbols that they may understand. But thy people reject this, though it is the truth. Say, not mine is responsibility for arranging your affairs, for every message is a limit of time, and soon shall you know it. When thou seest men engaged in vain discourse about our signs, turn away from them, unless they turn to a different thing. For Allah ever makes me forget, then after recollection, should not thou in the company of those who belong on their account, no responsibility falls on the righteous, but their duty is to remind them that they may learn to fear Allah. Leave alone those who take their religion to be mere play and amusement and are deceived by the life of this world. Leave alone those who take their religion to be mere play and amusement and are deceived by the life of this world, to proclaim to them this truth, that every soul delivers itself to ruin by its own acts will find for itself no protector or intercessor except Allah. If it offered every ransom or reparation, none will be accepted. Such is the end of those who deliver themselves to ruin by their own acts. They will have to drink only boiling water for punishment, while most grievous for their persistence in rejecting Allah. Say, shall we indeed call on others besides Allah things that could do us neither good nor harm, and turn on our heels and receive guidance from Allah, like one whom the evil ones have made into a fool, wandering bewildered through the earth, his friends calling, come to us, daily guiding him to the path. Say, Allah's guidance is the only guidance, and we have been directed to submit ourselves to the Lord of the worlds, to challenge him, to establish regular prayers, and to fear Allah, for it is to him that we shall gathered together. It is who created the heavens and earth in true proportion. The day he said, behold, it is his word. Behold, it is his word is the truth. His will be the dominion today. The trumpet will be born. He knoweth the unseen as well as that which is open, for he is the wise, well acquainted with all things. So Abraham said to his father, Israel, take up thy idols for God, for I see thee and thy people in manifest error. So also did we show Abraham the power and the laws of the heavens and the earth. O Abraham said to his father, take us thou idols for God, for I see thee, thy people in manifest error. So also did we show Abraham the power of the laws of the heaven and the earth, that he might with uncertain understanding have certitude. When the night covered him over, he saw a star. He said, this is my Lord. When it set, he said, I love not those that set. When he saw the moon rising in splendor, he said, this is my Lord. When the moon set, he said, unless my Lord guide me, I shall surely be among those who go astray. When he saw the sun rising in splendor, he said, this is my Lord. This is the greatest of all. This is the greatest of all. When the sun set, he said, oh, my people, I'm indeed free from your guilt of giving partners to Allah. For me, I have set my face firmly and truly towards him who created the heavens and the earth. Never shall I give partners to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. His people disputed with him. He said, come ye to dispute with me about Allah when he himself hath guided me. Fear not being associated with Allah. Thus my Lord willeth, nothing can happen. My Lord comprehendeth in his knowledge all things. Will you not yourselves be advised? How should I fear the beings you associate with Allah when ye are not to give partners to Allah without any warrant, having been given to you? Which of us two parties have more right and security? Tell me, you know. It is those who believe. Those who believe, who choose not to believe is wrong, that are truly in security, for they are on the right guidance. That was the reasoning about which we gave to Abraham to use against his people, to raise whom we will, degree after degree. For thy Lord is full of knowledge and of relationship to him. That was the reasoning about which we gave to Abraham to use against his people. He raised whom we will, degree after degree, for thy Lord is full of wisdom and knowledge. We gave him Isaac and Jacob, all three. We guided before him. We guided Noah, among his progeny, David, Solomon, Job, Joseph, Moses, and Aaron. Thus he rewarded those who did good. And Zechariah and Yahya, Jesus and Elias, all in the ranks of the righteous, and Ishmael and Elijah and Jonah and Lot, and to all we gave favor above the nations. To them and to their fathers, progeny and brethren, that we chose them, that we guided them to a straight way. This is the guidance of Allah. He giveth the guidance to whom he pleases of his worshipers. If they were to join other gods with him, all that they did would be vain for them. These were the men to whom we gave the book and saw the impossible. If these their sins reject them, behold, we shall entrust their charge to a new people who reject them not. These were the prophets who received Allah's guidance, copied the guidance they received. They in war for this, do I ask of you, no less than a message for the nations, no just estimate of Allah. Do they make when they say nothing, just Allah sent down to man by way of revelation? Who then sent down the book which Moses brought a light and guidance to man? But ye make it into separate sheets for show, for ye conceal much of its contents therein. then has set down the book, which Moses brought a light and guidance to man, which he make it into separate seats for show, while you can seal much of his content. Then were ye taught that which ye knew not, neither ye nor your fathers, say, Allah set it down, and lead them to plunge and gain discourse and trifling. And this is the book which we have sent down, bringing blessings and confirming revelations which came down before it, that thou mayest warn the mother of cities all around her, those who believe in the hereafter, believe in this book, and they are constant in guarding their prayers. Who can be more wicked than one who invents a lie against a lie, or said, I have received inspiration? Then he hath received none, or again, who said, I can reveal the light of what Allah hath revealed. If thou couldst but see how the wicked be fair in the flood of confusion and death, the angels stretch forth their hands, saying, yield up your soul, this day shall ye receive your reward, a penalty of shame, for that ye used to tell lies against the law, and scornfully to reject every sign. And behold, you come to us barren alone, as we created you for the first time. You have left behind you all the favors which you bestowed on you. We see not with you your intercessors, whom you thought to be partners in your affairs. So now all relations between you have been cut off, and your pet fancies have left you in the lurch. It is Allah who causes the seed grain and the date stone to split and sprout. He caused the living to issue from the dead, and he is the one who caused the dead to issue from the living. That is Allah. And how are you deluded away from the truth? He it is that cleaveth the dead day from the dark, and he makes the night for rest and tranquility. As the sun and the moon, for the reckoning of time, such as the judgment and ordering of him exalted in power, the omniscient. It is he who maketh the stars as beacons for you, that you may guide yourself with their help through the dark spaces of land and sea. You detail our signs for people who know. It is he who hath produced you from a single person. Here is a place of sojourn and a place of departure. We detail our signs for people who understand. It is he who sends down rain from the skies, and said we produce vegetation of all kinds. From the sun we produce green crops, out of which we produce grain, heaped up at harvest, out of the date palm. Its sheath or space come clusters of dates hanging low and near. And then there are gardens of grapes and olives, and pomegranates, each similar in kind, yet different in variety. When they begin to bear fruit, feast your eyes with the fruit and the ripeness thereof. Behold, in these things there are signs for people who believe. Yet they make the jinns equal with Allah, for Allah did create the jinns. They falsely, having no knowledge, attribute to him sons and daughters. Praise and glory be to him. For he is above what they attribute to him. To him is due the primal origin of the heavens and the earth. Like any other son, when he hath no consort, he created all things and hath full knowledge of all things. That is Allah, the Lord. There is no God but he, the creator of all things, and worship ye him. And he hath power to dispose of all affairs. No vision can grasp him, but his grasp is over all vision. He is above all comprehension, yet acquainted with all things. Now come to you from your Lord, proofs to open your eyes. If any will see, it will be for the good of his own soul. If any will be blind, it will be to his own harm. Not here to watch over your doings. Thus will be explained the signs by various symbols, thus that they may say, thou hast learnt this from somebody, and that we may make the matter clear to those who know. Follow what thou art taught by inspiration from thy Lord. There is no God but he, and turn aside from those who join God with Allah. If it had been Allah's plan, they would not have taken false God, but we made thee not one to watch over their doings. Nor hast thou set over them to dispose of their affairs. Revile not ye those whom ye call upon besides Allah, lest they fear thee out of spite, revile Allah in their ignorance. Thus have we made alluring to each people its own doings. In the end will they return to their Lord, and he shall then tell them the truth of all that they did. They swear the strongest oath of Allah that if a special sign came to them by it, they would believe, say, certainly all signs are in the power of Allah. But what will make you Muslims realize that even if special signs came, they were not believed. We too shall turn to confusion their hearts and their eyes, even as they refuse to believe in this in the first instance. We shall leave them in their trespasses to wander and distraction. If we then send unto them angels and the dead to speak unto them, when we gather together all things before the very eyes, they are not the ones to believe, unless it be Allah's saying. Most of them have know the truth. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
Today we have with us American Muslim Folk Human Salvation. We are very happy, we are very proud, we feel honored. This is what Charleston has been waiting on for years, years and years and years. As many parts of America and throughout the world have been waiting on salvation, salvation, salvation. We feel very honored to introduce you, American Muslim Spokesman for Human Salvation, Mawar Abdi Muhammad. Takbir. Takbir.
Peace be on you. As Muslims greet, Assalamu alaikum. We praise God, the one and only for us and all people. We witness that He alone is God and do worship. That is, worship is owing only to Him. And we witness that Muhammad, the Prophet, the messenger of Allah, his mercy to all the world, is mortal human being, messenger of God, and not a divine person, but not God himself, but a mortal human being that God gave us as a model of our human excellence. We witness that he is the messenger of God. We pray the prayer and the peace be on him. Amen. Let me first say that we're very pleased with our visit to this lovely and beautiful historical city of Charleston, South Carolina. And we are so pleased with it. We already made plans to come back and the family members just for a week or two of relaxation and discovery. I have seen so many of your faces already that I know very well, especially the imam. We want to say to you that we certainly appreciate the strong support that you give the Muslim community of America and our propagation efforts. We have a topic that we are very, very much interested in, not only for the Charleston Muslim community, but also for the Charleston African-American community, and for the African-American community all over the United States. A few years ago, it came to me that our people have wanted a day in the calendar year to celebrate our life. We say our heritage, our ethnicity, and I'd like to say our life, our feet as a people, the excellence of that life, originating for us as a racial group on the mother continent we call Africa, and extending now into America, well established and growing in America, and we have to include the Caribbean and some other places. So we hope that one day we will be a part, not leading, but a part of an effort to celebrate the excellence of the African family tree, the excellence of our traditional life, at least one day celebration. It was thought that we are interested in doing this as Muslims, and that was an era for which I'm partly responsible myself, I guess, because when we put things together, it's automatically expected that we are going to lay claim to it as being all ours. This is our (clears throat) I have seen so many of your faces already that I know very well, especially the imam. We want to say to you that we certainly appreciate the strong support that you give the Muslim community of America and our propagation efforts. We have a topic that we are very, very much interested in, not only for the Charleston Muslim community, but also for the Charleston African American community, and for the really for the African American community all over these United States. A few years ago, it came to me that our people have one of the days in the calendar year to celebrate our life. We say our heritage, our ethnicity, but I'd like to say our life, as a people. The excellence of that life originating for us as a racial group on the mother continent called Africa and extending now into America, well established and growing in America, and we have to include the Caribbean and some other places. So we hope that one day we will be a part, not the leaders, but a part of an effort to celebrate the excellence of the African family tree, the excellence of our traditional life, at least one day celebration. It was thought that we are interested in doing this as Muslims, and that was an error for which I'm partly responsible myself, I guess, because when we put things together, it's automatically expected that we are going to lay claim to it as being all ours. This desire is not all ours. And many other things that we'll be talking about today are not all ours. I'd like to greet the African-American audience always as an honorable audience. And if there are any non-blacks or non-African-Americans in the audience, we definitely are greeting you, too, when we say honorable audience. And I like the term honorable audience because we have been people who have been dishonored, people who have been discredited or dishonored, people who have been really denied our inherent dignity during the ugly years on this continent and in the southern parts, especially in the southern parts of these United States, those years of slavery and after. In fact, it is only recently in the history of our people in America that we have started to believe that America is equally for us. We didn't believe that years ago. We thought that America was for white folks. We thought that America would never accept us as equal citizens. But thank God for good American people of all colors, and especially for the efforts of civil rights leaders and Garveyites and Honorable Elijah Muhammad's people, for the efforts of all those who protested that very strongly. We are grateful to them. We made sacrifices too of life, money, and everything to bring about a better day for us in America. We're grateful to all of them for this change that we appreciate so much. But we have to realize that this has not been the case only in recent years, only for our present young generation is this thing new, and the past is non-existent. It's non-existent. But for us, the past does exist, and we believe, like many African-American leaders who are not all Muslims, we believe that if we forget that past, separate completely from that past and not pass on to our children, this new generation of ours, the knowledge of what happened from Africa to America, we will be making a terrible mistake. I would like to mention also that I find it very pleasing to read in the profile that I was given by the imam who was sent to me, mailed to me, and also with the cooperation of my public relations people, especially Brother Marzouk El-Jami, based in Dallas, Texas. That information to me was very helpful, and I was very pleased to read that most of the black, in quotation, black, most of us here are homeowners. And this is unique for us in the United States. You don't find that in, I don't know of any other place in the United States where that will be so. And also, I'm also very pleased to know that the African-American people are the black people who came from Africa, brought from Africa, we should say, as slaves, more correctly, we were brought from Africa in ships to be sold as slaves here and were sold in the markets here as slaves to the whites who needed slave labor. It's great, I think, for us to know that you were used in industry. Many parts, most of the parts of the South, you were used just as farm labor and domestic servants. But here, I think you are very special for that, although I know a few other places, our people were used in industry. They were used to build construction, build construction. They were used carpenters, bricklayers, iron workers, and they tell me much of the work that you look at when we go through the city of beautiful Charleston, we're looking at the work of African-American people. And it's gratifying, very pleasing also to know that of the 31% of the population that you represent also 30% of the workforce in beautiful Charleston. This is not to say that you are happy here. I know better. You didn't tell me that. I had to read about those things. I hope that you have patience with me. I don't intend to give a long talk, a brief talk. But have patience with me as I take my time and deliver this brief address. We Muslims believe that our first father, and I put first father in quotations and you will understand why, was created for obedience to God. God who made everything, all humans, all men, all women, in conjunction with that, we believe that as Muslims, we believe our first father was created to think production, to think establishment, to think progress, and to think security. We praise God, and we say Alhamdulillah. We praise God for revelation, for revealing to the prophet his plan, his purpose, and his direction for all human beings. And we accept that the Father for us, African Americans or black, is the Father for all people. Education for us is sacred. Education begins in the created body of knowledge. By the meaning here for body of knowledge is the world as God created it. We believe sun, moon, and stars, and everything outside in space, including the earth and all that's within the earth, was created by one and the same God, the Creator, who's one and one alone. And we believe that in doing, in the act of creation, in carrying out or affecting the act of creation itself, God produced for us the biggest, the best, the truest body of knowledge. A full view of the concept of knowledge should have in focus basic true to nature real world definitions. It should show us the processes of nature, and should bring us to see the utility for us, for the human beings, for the human community in that great body of knowledge. Allah Most High God says that He has made useful to you and has made the whatever is in the sky and in the earth to yield to you, to yield to you, to give its service to you. God says that. Whatever He has made in the sky and in the earth, He has made it to yield to you, to every human being, to yield to us. Only if we use our good nature and our good senses can we get that benefit. He has made everything to yield its utility up for our benefit. We look at the world we call the modern world, the Western world, and we see how the Western world has utilized the knowledge that God created. How the Western world has utilized the knowledge that God created and has advanced industry, science, technology, and improved upon the state of human beings on this earth. We see that. We should see that not as the gift of white man, Muslims. We should see that not as the gift of the white man. We should see that not as the gift of scientists and industry. We should see that as a gift of God. That is the gift of God. I don't think we can appreciate our life as an ethnic or racial group in the way that we should appreciate our life until we first understand the reality we call the natural reality or the created world that God made, with us in it included. In it. God wants us to see ourselves as individuals and also as communities. And God wants the utility that He created, we call the universe, the great body of knowledge on which everything else comes, is that benefits man and human life, except revelation that God sends directly from Him from Himself through the angels to man. And God wants us to see that utility coming to us for our community, the community of the African Americans, but even more importantly, for the community of the people, the whole United States, the nation, and even more importantly, for the community we call the international community. When we look at this word community, we may come by two words, community, C-O-M-E, community, community, community. Well, that's what I would like to say to my African-American brothers and sisters, community, come unite for the establishment of the human individual in society. This is the aim, purpose for real democracy. It is to establish the individual person, the individual human being in the society. That, I believe, is the greatest gift or the greatest use or benefit we find in our religion of Islam. When we study the Quran, our holy sacred book, when we study it and study the life of Muhammad the Prophet, the greatest benefit that I see coming to us is the knowledge of how to grow into a truly just society, a truly fair and just society, where the individual will be focused and his right to have establishment in the society is focused. To me, that is the best benefit that our religion offers. The concept of knowledge, or I repeat, the body of knowledge, offers the definition of life. More than that, our life purpose and our social responsibility, which for Muslims is a very important word. Our Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be on him, he said that to marry is half the religion. To marry is half the religion. I believe the scholars in Islam will agree with me that to marry means to accept your social responsibility as half of your religion. I would like now to address something very unique for us as African Americans. I'm speaking of those African Americans who were inspired, called first, C-A-L-L-E-D, called by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and inspired by his word or his teaching. That group, we have something I think that is very unique. Not that other African Americans don't have it, they do. I'm talking about the desire for self-discovery, the desire for self-discovery. The desire for self-discovery was ignited by W. Farad, also called W. Farad Muhammad. The same man is called W. D. Farad. I don't know if Muslims, all Muslims that share this experience with us or identify in this history with us, those of the so-called Nation of Islam today, I say so-called because we only have one true Nation of Islam, and that is the one that has 1 billion members. It is an international Nation of Islam. I don't know if you agree with the expression satirical. Satire, you know, is a word we find in literature. And one who produced satire is actually covering up his work. He's hiding his work. He hides it under satire. And we find that some of the greatest criticism, some of the most appreciated criticism of oppressors and oppressive life, dictators and oppressive life that they create for us, bad life they create for their subjects, some of the best criticism has been put into that language we call satire. And I'm convinced after studying Farad for all of these years that he put his work in that form of literature we call satire. But the people he called to his voice were not on a level of education to understand that kind of work, the work of a satirist. So he couldn't really introduce himself as he should have been introduced, or he couldn't introduce himself correctly at that time. We know this of him, that he himself said he was not introducing himself correctly at that time when he was among the African-American people, teaching them and making the Honorable Elijah Muhammad his minister or his supreme minister, or his spokesperson. He was not introducing himself correctly according to his own words. And he put it in this language. He said to the followers back then, he said, you see me now in the clothes of the white man. He said, one day you will see me in my raw robe. And we were informed by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that what he meant was that he wore the clothing of the West and he came in disguise as a white man to fool the white society, to fool this white society. And we thought that it just meant his complexion, his skin color, that he had the skin color that would deceive this white society and make them believe that he was a white man. I have come to understand that he was talking about his work, his literary work. He put his literary work together in a way that would make the white learned people in education or in literature think that he came as they would come. When the truth of the matter is that he put into his teaching the germs or the suggestion for bringing us into true Islam. But it was a big risk, and that's why he said, oops, I missed that time. I hope you're hearing me clearly out there. I got a lot of receivers here. With his satire on the evils of the white race and the nature of the black or the original man, he ignited in us a strong desire to discover ourselves, a desire for self-discovery. Except for Farag's own contribution to our work on desire, self-discovery, I think being made slaves here in this country, the second most powerful influence for self-discovery in us. To take a people from their past and then raise them as babies and deny them any connection with their past as a people free or as a people before slavery has the power of influence or the effect of igniting in the thinking ones of that people a desire to get back to the original point of origin and discover self again. I must repeat that Farag made a contribution to that when he gave his teachings of the origin of man and identified the ones who brought or put us in bondage as an inherently wicked or people wicked, wrong by nature, and identified us as innocent people, of godly people, or identified us as the original man. And if I can point to what I appreciate and still appreciate most in the Nation of Islam's work, or in Farag's work, I must point to that. That what it did was ignite in us a desire to think and discover ourselves. That desire is still burning in us, still burning in me, desire to think and discover myself, to know myself better. We received a lot of help, but the way it was given to us makes it difficult for people that are not informed on a high level of education. We were told that our original self is a righteous Muslim. And we were told that the black man is the first man of the original man. I would like to say to you today that the only truth in that statement is a truth that every man can appreciate, no matter what color his skin may appear to be. Black, literally, white, literally, brown, red, yellow, no matter what color his skin is, literally, the truth in that statement is a truth that all men can appreciate. Because what it is talking about is not the physical color. It is talking about, when it says original man, it is talking about the original consciousness of man. The problem for us is not in our pigmentation. The problem for us is in our consciousness. If we have weak conscience, our corrupt conscience, and this is kind of a contradiction, because the term conscience uses suggest something good. But we know that we have many people in society, and have always had them, who are conscious, but they are bad as hell. So what we are talking about when we say original conscience, we are talking about man's first state of mind, where he is a baby in his mental makeup, and he's not distrustful, he's trustful. He doesn't have knowledge. The world hasn't given him any knowledge yet. He has no light in his brain to go by. He does not even have a flashlight of learning. So he's a black child in that sense. He's a black baby in that sense. He's original. I hope you understand. But God intended for us to have more than just that blackness or that faith in our future, in our intelligence, in our future, our mother, and those we have to depend on. Faith is the beginning of life. Not knowledge, faith. And knowledge grows because there's faith. And faith is not what we see by in the world. Faith is what we trust to live by in the world. Knowledge is what we see by in the world. Allah says he made the night for rest. He made the day for vision, for seeing, and activity. I hope I'm making myself very clear. Because that's the obligation on looking. That if we're going to communicate something, we should do our best to communicate it very clearly. That has been the strain on us, and we thank God for blessing us with help from the Quran that has enabled us now to speak more clearly. God wants us to also have faith in the establishment that God intends for us. When God created us, he created us for establishment, for the establishment that he intends. He wants us to have faith in that establishment. That establishment, something that we have been given a nature to sense, or we've been created with a nature to sense that establishment. And long before even Moses, long before the great prophet, man anticipated help from a divine being, or help from a reality above his reality that will enable him to come in one day into establishment, community establishment, individual establishment that will be satisfying and pleasing that will be a heaven on earth that has been man's hope down through the ages. And it is still man's hope, and believe me, man has made much progress toward that with the help of revelation, not without the Quran, but with revelation, and particularly with, more importantly, I would say, with the revelation we call the Quran. Man has been able to come closer to that great concept of community life and individual life that God intended for us to be our establishment. Now, I mentioned self-discovery in brief. There's a lot I want to say on this. I've spoken on it many times before, but I have to move on. I find the subject very attractive. Self-discovery. But I'm going from self-discovery to now another activity in us, and it is actually the fuel or the activity that we have in self-discovery. It is productive thought. Productive thought. Islam is for us doing more than just valuing the human brain and the power to think. We know that's very important to man's life, to his future. We must value the human brain and the human power to think. But Islam wants more than just that for us. Islam wants life for those who are dead to the exercise of profitable thought. We have many of our people today who are worse off today than we were in the 30s when Quran began his teaching. Why do I say we're worse off? When Quran began his teaching, he began his teaching in a time where there were circumstances already influencing African American people to think. But in the society that we now have now, the system of education has been discredited and is not in good repair, where people are turned off to every important, real, vital authority, even God, too many of us even turned off to God. We have a condition now that, to me, is less helpful to us, are less helpful to our need, the need in us to think and think production. If we had a serious problem as a people that justified Quran calling us the mentally dead, I think if he could come back today, he would have to come up with a new term. Because we are much more mentally dead now than we were in those days. But thanks to Allah, a small number of us, and I don't claim it just for Muslims, but I know we are well represented, a small number of us are not mentally dead. We are very much alive. And on us rests the responsibility for the dead. Farad asked the question. He said, what is the duty of a civilized person? And he answered it. Through all of Elijah Muhammad, he answered it. He said, the duty of a civilized person is to teach civilization to the uncivilized. Now, I changed the language just slightly. The duty of a mentally alive person is to teach mental life to the mentally dead. And that's what we're trying to do. That's what Islam will do for us if we just trust Islam. But it is our responsibility also as students of Islam to communicate this in the language of the people, whether they are Muslims or not. You perhaps have noticed that I don't care to be seen only as a Muslim. I want to be seen also as an African American, as a member in the African family. If you've seen that, then you're correct. That's exactly the way I feel. I don't want to be seen just as a Muslim. I want to be seen as an African-American, as a member in the African family tree, our people. And I'm going to get to something even more important than that in a few minutes, I hope. Much of our burden, it causes us to feel hopeless, causes us to feel still oppressed, and we are somewhat oppressed. All the weaker people in the society, I'm sure, are feeling oppressed. They'll give different reasons why they feel oppressed. We have been conditioned to give only a racial reason for us being this way or feeling this way. So everything that hurts us, the automatic response is to say racism. That's automatic. A lot of it is racism, but I'm sure a lot of it is not. You know, we can't expect a society of mixed people, Europeans, descendants from Europe, descendants from Africa, and now many other places, you can't expect a society of mixed people like this to really be better by us than we are by ourselves in our own private home. You know, we don't call each other racist when we suffer some problem at home. We look for answers. Why are you feeding me that way? I think it's time for us in America to start having the same kind of orientation or the same kind of makeup in our thinking, where we don't charge it to race, but first look and see what is the cause before we call it. What is the cause of it before we call it race? Now, if a white man look at us in brown, racist. White man holler at us for getting in his way, racist. A white man turn our application down, racist. That's not always the answer. What you call the black man when he turn your application down? What you call the black man when he holler at you in the street? What you call the black man when he cheats you out of something? You don't call him a racist. That's just human weakness. So that's how we have to see a lot of the problems we have now in society. Believe me, if we stop seeing it as a race problem and stop seeing it as human problems, human weakness, human defects, human immaturity, and start working at maturing our society, working for more of our members to have social maturity, moral maturity in them, we will really start beginning to realize some progress. But don't expect to come out among other people and find a better situation for yourself than you find at home with your own people. Get that home in better shape. And as your home gets to be in better shape and you get reputation for having good, civilized, human homes, the world will accept you and treat you better. It is hoped that we can come to an idea of race that will be healthy for us and not burdensome not negative. The concept of race, our heritage, our race and heritage, begins for us, and I'm speaking for our group, Muslims with us, a concept of race and heritage begins for us with a concept of human life, human life. And that concept to me is more important than African-American life, human life. African-American life cannot form except upon human life. If it forms upon anything else other than true human life, then it's going to form as a deformity, and it's going to make nothing but misery and burden for us. It's going to increase our burden. Not relieve us from burden. It's going to increase our burden. And I think that's what has happened for too many of us. Too many of us have missed the positive shock effect, the positive psychological effect of Barak's teaching on black men, and have come to an idea that all you have is just knowledge that you are the black man and you God. If that's all you have gotten out of Barak's teaching, you're in more hell today than you were in before Barak came. I guarantee it. We are asking for a revival of a calendar day. It was attempted, but it has almost gone away now. I don't want to name all the groups that attempted to have some kind of calendar day. But believe me, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was celebrating Savior's Day, he was attempting to have a calendar day, not to just celebrate Barak coming to us as a Savior, but to celebrate our life. He was including in that celebration at one time, eating together, enjoying a special diet together that had become a kind of culture symbol, an element of culture, an element of a distinct culture in our lives as followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Diet is part of culture, important part of that culture. What you eat. And how you socialize when you eat is a very important part of culture. In fact, it is the beginning of a culture. That's how culture begins. For man and his private family, eating and selecting a certain kind of food and having conversation and socializing at the meal. That's the beginning of culture. When you rest from the work or from the field, you're eating and socializing. So now you have a spirit to sing. A song is born. Right there in that situation. A dance is born right there in that situation. Medicine is developed. Traditional medicine is developed right from that situation. Clothing events is developed right from that situation. So what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was starting was something that could possibly grow into a full culture for his people in time. I'm not just addressing this. I don't have a degree from college. Asian, who made a study of the followers of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he interviewed many of them. I'm sure it was over 100. I think it was close to 200 or more that he interviewed, which is a big sample for that kind of study. And he came to the conclusion that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's greatest contribution, now I'm using my words, but this is the conclusion he came to. I'm not quoting the book exactly, word for word. The greatest contribution was his contribution to cultural identity. The making of cultural identity for his people that's needed for all African Americans. Some of us have been influenced by certain interests, religious and church interests. Others influenced by nationalistic interests. Others influenced by entertainment. So we have a lot of divergent efforts to establish our cultural identity. And the overwhelming influence is America's cultural air. So we all are deprived of coming into a real cultural identity by America's overwhelming cultural gap. The TV is just too strong for us. What's coming off of the tube is just too strong for us. What's coming out of Morehouse and these other producers that record is just too strong for us. What's coming from the gang language on the street, just too strong for us. It is too strong for us. Those influences are too strong for us because we don't have a nature-based movement for establishing for ourselves cultural identity. That life must start in human excellence, the same way God started it when he started the first human family. It must start in innocence, in human innocence, and in human excellence. That is compatible with the best of human nature as God created it. So we want to revive that interest in a calendar day. Some of you are familiar with what they call Juneteenth. Raise your hand if you're familiar with it. I see, good. A lot of us are familiar with that expression, Juneteenth. That was an effort on the part of our people to have a day to celebrate once a year on June 19th, if I'm remembering. June 19th is the day, I think. It's called Juneteenth, but the date is June 19th. So we, with those with me, we would like to revive that effort in having yearly calendar day. Hope that one day it will be recognized as an ethnic holiday for us, not only here in America, but in Africa and everywhere the descendants of our forefathers are, a day of celebration for us to celebrate not just our local life, our local ethnicity, but to celebrate human excellence in the African family tradition. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Celebrate human excellence in the African family tradition, no matter where we are on this earth. It doesn't have to be led by Muslims. In fact, I refuse to lead it. I will only lead Muslims. We want others to lead themselves. And all of us make our independent contribution to that great annual day of celebration. But all of us must agree that we're going to not celebrate throwing of bones, voodoo, and all of that stuff. We're going to celebrate the movement of civilized man in the African family. And I'm not talking about Afrocentric tricks either, because they miss the biggest chapter in the excellence of the African life, Islam. This brief address invites us to focus on, number one, true to nature concepts and meanings. True to nature concepts and meanings. Islam invites us to be intelligent as God created us, not in some fancy, in some superstition, in some imaginary reality. God wants us Muslims to be scientists, to think as scientists think, to respect the natural world and extract from it the knowledge that God deposited in it for us to establish great societies upon. Science. So as we are inspired by God to come into appreciation for the natural world and the science that it has in it as its treasure and its language for man and its progress, we are also inspired to look at ourselves ethically with the eyes or through the eyes of a thinker, a scientific thinker. And let us work for more objectivity when we are trying to define what the black man is, what his race is, what his ethnicity should be, what his cultural life should have in it. Let us be more objective. Let us realize that God created us to be men respecting the natural world order of knowledge and to be scientific thinkers. All of us can't do this, so we are calling for an intelligentsia again. We once had an intelligentsia. We once had an African-American intelligentsia. In that group I refer to as an intelligentsia, we had many great men like W.E.B. Du Bois. I would include even Booker T. Washington. Booker T. Washington was just not a man talking about having businesses, self-help. from businesses such as hair, beauty shops, barber shops, restaurants, grocery stores. The man had an interest also in higher education. He had an interest in not only that, he was working for higher education, and he was working for higher skills to create higher skills, to produce people, African-American people, capable of having higher skills and getting the top dollar in the work market. This is what he wanted. And not only that, as Du Bois was more than an educator and a political activist, et cetera, Du Bois and Booker T. Washington, both of them were also philosophers. They were philosophers. I read their writings. They both were philosophers. They had great philosophical thoughts. Both Du Bois and Booker T. Washington wanted our people to think philosophically, to find a vision for them, the vision for their destiny. Darby, he in a practical way, he was trying to get us to see an aim for us. What is the aim for the whole black people? He wanted us to have a single aim. He wanted us to have a group purpose, a group aim. He wanted us to have a sense of common purpose and common destiny. Common purpose and common destiny. He wanted us to sense where we all should be going and that we all should be in unity, cooperating with each other to get there, because it was not for any particular group of us. It was for every one of us, that aim, that purpose, that destiny. These men were philosophers. Booker T. Washington speaks of, in his writings, he speaks of, and I quote, an idea of life. Don't you know that's a philosophical statement? The man was advocating that blacks have an idea of life. That's a philosophical statement. And that's why we're so divided now in our life direction, because we don't have a group sense of life and a group idea of life. If we all would become Muslims overnight, we would have a group idea of life. The idea would be this calm, Muslim life. But we don't expect that. God says that if he wanted all people to be the same, he would have made them that way. So God will not force all people to be one thing. He gives the best. He offers them the best. But he leaves for them many other choices. God has offered us all kinds of food to eat. But he left for us the deep and noble food too. Likewise, with ideology. God has offered us the best ideology to live by. But he made available to us many other ideologies. So let us not expect that all of our African-American people are going to be Muslims. Some of our African-American people who are Christians are more advanced in the road that I'm talking about now than many of us are. So we don't need all of us to be Muslims to have progress in the road that I'm addressing right now. We only need all of us to agree on some basic things. Secondly, we need to focus on the process. Secondly, we need to focus on the continent, or focus on the continent of Africa, on the African family tradition of excellence, beginning in Africa and coming all the way now, advancing up, extended all the way into this continent and into this great nation, the United States. We are to focus on excellence as the best way of reaching or identifying our life as a people, our aim as a people, the continuity of that life, the continuous progress, the continuous building up of that life. We know that it had periods of interruption. But we can put puzzles together, can't we? We can study our life the traditional life of African people and African descendants, traditional excellence. We can study that in history. And we can put the puzzle back together. We can get over the separation where we were severed from that life. We can get over that and show the line continuous. That's what we mean by the continuity. That continuity will show us the whole, what should be the wholeness of our life. The wholeness of our life. God created us to be more than just spiritually turned on. Because we were completely separated from social responsibility and brought into America as properties of another people, we were, I would say, suspended people. Suspended people. Suspended above the natural patterns of the world. Suspended people. We found no accommodation on earth. Slavery and the conditions that followed it didn't offer us any accommodation. So the natural escape would be to go up in the sky, to become spiritual, to live in emotion. And that's the tendency in us today, most of us. They didn't make a mistake when they gave us Soul Train on television. That's the tendency in us today, to relate to everything through the element we call emotion, emotions or emotionality. Right now, many of you are having problems even opening up yourself to receive what I'm saying. And it's because you are trying to communicate with me through that element, emotionality. And if you start being rational and use the best tool for communication God gave you, your intelligent thought and reasoning, you won't have any problems. We'll be at home together. Because what I'm advocating for you is for you as much as it is for me. It doesn't favor me any more than it favors you. If we can encourage the forming of an intelligentsia again, a group of leaders, intelligent Muslims, educated, scholarly Muslims, men and women, even the youth should be included, a group of intelligent thinkers to do what? Watch over the conditions of the African-American people. Just like a home needs a conscious mother, a responsible mother, a conscious father, a responsible father, or at least some adult to accept the parent responsibility, just as that home needs a conscious, intelligent person to watch over the condition of the children in the home, a group of people, a racial group, we need a select group of conscious individuals, educated, qualified, to watch over the condition of our race. We don't need every fool that gets the notion that he's inspired, jumping up, telling us where we should go as a race. We need the best of our minds, the most sober of our minds, watching over the condition of our race. And if we would organize such a group or identify ourselves together as such a group, we could demand of television, of the media, we could demand of them that they give us as much time on television to address the condition of our people as they give any radical or crazy extremist. And that's going to come. I said we once had it, we're going to get it again. Now, just for about 5 minutes, I want to talk about Muslim life. And believe me, Muslim life cannot be established in the air or in the space either. Muslim life, according to the word of God in the Quran, must be established on the original path for human life that God gave when he created the world. In the creation itself is the original pattern for human life. according to the teachings of our holy book, the Quran. And God wants us to form our Muslim life upon that original pattern, to complement that original pattern, and to lead us to the destiny or to the fulfillment of that life. God revealed to us the Quran. And if we study it and apply it to our life, we will come into the full maturity of that life God intended when he put into our creation original pattern. Muslim life is a life that must be seen, firstly, as a life of faith. Faith in Allah, the God creator. And there are six articles of faith. I'm not giving all of those. I'm not going to do it. I'm trying to save time. You Muslims will know. You don't know that. You don't know it. Go to your mosque and get it. The imam is responsible to give that to you. It begins with the articles of faith and the mighty five for establishment. What is that mighty five? Not only a belief, but also a practice. We are not only to believe that God is God. We are to practice that reality, God is God. How do we practice that reality, God is God? By letting it be seen in all of our actions, in all of our thinking, in all of our ways, in all of our behavior. Let it be seen that our behavior recognizes God, respects God, obeys God. That's how we say with our life, La ilaha illallah. And if we follow and do that, as Prophet Muhammad has demonstrated us to do that, we will be saying, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, with our life. And that's what Allah wants us to do. When we say ashhadu, we witness, we mean we practice what we say we believe in. What is the second of that mighty five? To make salat, and salat happens to be five. Five prayers daily to that God. At specific times in the 24 hours. Not when we feel like it. At specific times in the 24 hours. Now God has understood that sometimes the mother will be tending the child, or something else will be happening, or the men will be traveling and travel involves hardship, especially back there in those days. It involved very, very severe hardship. So God is lenient. He allows us, under certain conditions, to say two prayers together at the time of convenience. We can combine the noon prayer and the afternoon prayer. We can combine the evening prayer and the after sunset prayer and the night prayer. So God has given us these allowances. And not only that, there may be some extreme conditions where we will not even be able to make those prayers. God has allowed for us to make up prayers, to say them later. But we are to say, right now, if I was saying the noon prayer late, I can't just say it late. I got to acknowledge in my prayer that I'm saying it late, or in my intention that I'm saying it late. I have to say, I'm saying the noon prayer, 4 rakah, late. I have to say that. Because if I don't, I will become unconscious. God wants me to be conscious of the fact that I didn't say it at his proper time. This ain't no makeup stuff here. This is required by the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet and the life of the Prophet. And thirdly, charity. We have to give in charity. Now, how can a person that has nothing give in charity? But did God excuse anybody from giving charity? I haven't found one place in our religion where it says a poor man doesn't have to give charity. It just says a poor man is entitled to benefits from charity. That's what it says. Poor man is entitled to benefits from charity. But it doesn't say he doesn't have to give charity. God doesn't want any of us feeling that we are exempt from charity. And if he did, God himself would be guilty of ignoring a great virtue that he created us with. I've never been so poor that I didn't want to help somebody in misery. I've had nothing, but I shared that little nothing with somebody else. And that's our nature to do that. And if you keep that good life in you, that good virtue in you, you will be blessed to have a job and to come off the charity rolls or the charity list yourself. And our prophet demonstrated to us how important it is to get off the charity list. The prophet said the hand that's like this, given another hand that's like this, is better than the hand that's like this. Hear that? He said the hand that's like this, putting something in the hand that's like this, is better than the hand that's like this. He meant not better in devotion to God. He meant better for society, better in usefulness in the society. If all of us are like this, the society is also like this. Yes. the fourth of those five, mighty five, is the fast, the month of Ramadan. The fast for a whole month, the ninth month of the Islamic calendar, the month of Ramadan. We know that the purpose of that fast is to please God. And actually God says himself, fasting is for me. God said this to the prophet, it was quoted as the word of God by the prophet. The prophet quoted it as the word of God. God said, fasting is for me. The fasting person who fasts the month of Ramadan is fasting for God. It means by that that we are fasting, we should fast purely because God asks us to. God doesn't want us to fast to lose weight, not in Ramadan. Find another time to do that. God don't want us to fast to look better to ourselves in the mirror. No. God don't want us to fast to save money in Ramadan. No other reason to accept it other than the one that God said we should be fasting to please God because God didn't do it. But we know that great benefits for society come from the Muslim fasting because when we fast, it makes us understand the person who can't eat when he wants to eat. He's too poor. He can't eat when he wants to eat. He has to go hungry. He ain't fasting. So it makes us sympathize with that person when we have suffered the hunger pain. We become more sympathetic after fasting in the month of Ramadan. And this is especially good for the rich who never have to walk for food, drink. They also, no rich person is excused from fasting the month of Ramadan. The only thing that can excuse them is he paid the fee, fixed the people, food. He can escape. But actually, he has not escaped, though God gave him that allowance. He has not escaped yet. Why? Because Allah says, God says in the Quran, it is best that you fast. He give you these allowances, but he says it is best that you fast. So God didn't make this just available to the man that's the rich man. He made this, the Quran, available to all of us. So when the poor people look at him feeding them, they feel better than he because they fasted and he didn't. And that doesn't make his ego very comfortable. No, so he's going to try to fast. You don't find wealthy people in this religion trying to escape fasting by feeding the poor. All of us, all Muslims want to fast the month of Ramadan. And all Muslims fast the month of Ramadan. If they don't, then it's a hurt on them. They don't feel too good in their conscience. They don't feel too good in their heart. And the last of these mighty five is pilgrimage, pilgrimage to the Holy House. We say to Mecca, but actually it ain't to Mecca. The Holy Precinct just happened to be in the city of Mecca. The visit, the pilgrimage at the Hajj is to the Holy House, to the sacred, to the Haram. Masjid al-Haram means the mosque in the sacred precinct, which includes Mina, Muzdalifah, especially the most important part of the whole Hajj is really Arafat, the Mount Arafat, It includes all of that. That's the system. Now, someone may say, is that what Islam is? Is that what Muslim life is? So that I reinforce this, I'll get support for what I say. Muhammad the Prophet himself, prayers and peace be on him, he was asked by someone in the audience, and we know that someone was put there in the audience by God to ask him the question. He was asked, what is Islam? And the Prophet gave the answer that I gave you. He gave five. He said, Islam is to believe in God, to say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, and to make the five prayers, and to give in charity, and to fast the month of Ramadan, and to make visits to the house. That's what the Prophet said. So we have given those five. That's the Muslim life. That is the Muslim life. But we have to make a more effort to actually live that life and put those principles into practice, to apply those principles to the whole of our activity, to not violate any of those principles no matter what we're doing. See, that's a big responsibility. No matter where we go, don't violate any of those principles. If we smoke a reefer, we're violating one of those principles, or all of them. If we go to a dance where vulgar dancing is going on, and vulgar people are, we're violating one or all of those principles. If we join a group of people in promoting an ideology that's in conflict with Islam, we're violating those principles. If we join a political group, our civic group, in some activity that we know that Allah doesn't approve of, or violate any of those, we're violating the principles. So this goes on and on and on. If we raise our children in a way that doesn't respect those sides, we're violating them. So it's not just knowing these things and saying I believe in these things. It's making your whole life, all of your life activities, all of your connections, all of your social connections, all of your acquaintances, all of your socializing, all of your visits to places, to making all of your life conform to those five, to what you say you believe and what you say you have as the basis for your life, the five, the mighty five. It's conforming to that. That's the duty of every Muslim. You say, well, Brother Imam, do you do that? I try hard to do that. None of us are perfect, but I'm not weeping. I feel good over my life. I think I'm doing a pretty good job, given the circumstances for my Muslim life in America. I think I'm doing a pretty good job. And I'm working for the day when we will have a piece of this America for ourselves. Not only one piece, but many pieces of this America for ourselves, where we will have a mosque and school within our reach. We can walk to it. Where we will hear the azan called over the air on the minaret. We'll hear it five times a day. We'll be reminded, as we should be reminded, by a muezzin, a person appointed to carry out that responsibility. And many, many other things I hope to see realized in my lifetime, so that I can more perfectly live the fullness of my Islamic life according to the principles of faith and the mighty five. Allah says, the word of God in our holy book, you are the best community. Khaira ummatan, the best community. That khaira doesn't only mean best in behavior, best in virtue, best in morals. It also means best in usefulness to yourself and society at large. It says, Allah says, you are the best community. Khaira ummatan, the best community. Ukhrijat, brought up for what? Linnash. He raised up. They say evolve. One translated evolve for all humanity, or for all people. raised up, brought out. It means brought out, evolved, for the good of all people. That's what Allah said. You are the best community. What am I saying this verse for? To make you feel special? No. We should see that as an obligation more than a charge for our ego. We should see it as an obligation. But Allah tells us you are the most useful community to all people, evolved for the good of all people. Allah is not telling us something to make us stand above all people or to make us have an ego bigger than all people. Allah is telling us to make us see that our responsibility is to all people. Our responsibility is to all people. And the great intellect, the great mind that were formed in the immediate appearance of Islam in the following of Muhammad the Prophet, may God be pleased with all of his great disciples, all of his great followers. Those great people, they didn't only establish civilization, revive the sciences for Muslims, they did it for the whole international world. And it was because of their great contribution to civilization and the sciences that the West had that period it called the Renaissance or the Renaissance, which brought in modern science, industry, modern science, and now technology. All of it is owing to the introduction of the Quran by God through Gabriel, Gabriel, and Muhammad the last prophet. Understand that. If you don't understand that, Muslims, you're missing. Now, God said that he has evolved us to be the most useful community to all people. And he says of our prophet that he has given Muhammad to the world as a mercy to them, that he is a mercy to all the world. And he says of our Qibla, the house that we visit and turn to five times a day in prayer, he says to us, don't worship it, but worship the Lord of that house. That's Allah, the Lord of that house. Says, فَلْيَعْبُدُ رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Therefore, worship the Lord of this house. Now, he told us to pray, to turn and pray toward it. It's our orientation. It's the hub. It's the hub. What you call it? The axle? Yes. Of a wheel, the axle. The axle, the hub. The hub. Or the axle. If we are all in one wheel, and we are, we form a circle around the world. When we pray toward that point, then the Qibla, or the house, which is the Qibla. Qibla means direction, is the hub for us, the center focus. The center focus, the house, the point of orientation. That is our Qibla. The word Qibla means that. What does God say of the house there that's raised up, that is the symbol or the sign of that Qibla? He says that it is the most ancient of houses. Raised up for who? Lillah, for all people. For all people. And I can go on and on and on and tell you how this religion is clearly stated to us as being a religion for all people. All people. And God says of this religion that I have preferred it for you. So Muslims, I'm not speaking to Christians, I'm speaking to Muslims. Muslims, you must understand that in our religion, Muslims must understand that God's preference of religion is Islam. His preference for human beings is Islam. I told you he has given us many kinds of food. We are free to have all the choices, but there are better foods and worse foods. And like that, also it goes for ideology. And religion is ideology. Oh, religion ain't ideology. Yes, it is. Religion is ideology. Not on the secular plane. That's the only difference. It is ideology. Our religion is built upon the idea that there is one God and that he created man on an original human pattern and complemented that pattern with Islam, the ideology. Now, here is the one that may get me in a little trouble with the how can I refer to them? The Muslims that claim to have the first pattern on Islam. Now, Allah says of us, Muslims, all of us, that we are the best community raised up or evolved for the, brought out or evolved for the good of all people. But God also says, and I quote in English, it appears in the most recent issue of the Muslim Journal. Quote, let there arise out of you a group of people inviting to all that is good, enjoining what is right, and forbidding what is wrong. They are the ones to achieve success. So what is the condition that Allah gives for us if we want to be successful in life? They are stated right there. And I repeat them for you. We have to be a people, a group of people, inviting to all that is good. All that is good. And forbidding all that is wrong. That's the condition. That's the condition. And Allah says in the Quran, who has forbidden the good and useful things that Allah has made for his servants? Which tells us that some ideology holds some things that God wants us to have for our good and for our use forbidden. And Allah revealed the Quran to say to us, no, it's not forbidden. If I want to ascend to the height of my spiritual development, I don't have to become a hermit, a saint, a celibate. Celibate means I don't want women. I don't want no sex. I don't have to become that. And some people in religion, they think to achieve the height, the utmost of their spiritual refinement or development, they have to leave those things to go off. Muhammad said, those who do not accept the marriage are not of me. So any of us that start advocating no marriage, the prophet said, you're not of him. Forget it. Sisters, I thank God for creating me to have a natural appreciation for you. There was no chance for me in among the celibates when God created me. They could have got me. I don't care where, what kind of circumstance I'd fallen in. They would have never got me. When I was asleep, I had a desire for a woman. Something unconscious in me. You know what's going to happen when I wake up. Now, I'm going over the time, but please, I want to finish it. With this last invitation that God gives us, God invites us to become a group, to bring out from you, he says. He's speaking to Muslims. Means let there be out of the Muslim community, the general Muslim community, a special group. I asked for an intelligentsia, something that we want for the African-American people. Here is God asking for an ideal, conscious group of people to work for the good of the general community, Muslim community. Now, it doesn't mean we're going to have one of these. We should have one of these in America. Every Muslim nation should want one of those special groups, working for the general welfare of the Muslim community, setting the example that God wants for the whole general society of the community. And I don't have to tell you that I want you to bring out from your group, from those in my association. I want to see there rise up a group. And I'd rather not say it in my own words. I'm going to the quote. A group inviting to all that is good, enjoining what is right, and forbidding all that is wrong. Every Muslim group, no matter how small we are, if we are national group, or if we are community group, or ethnic group, we should feel the obligation to have this special model for the general community. So let us work on it. Let us work hard. It's forming. I can identify some of you in it. It's forming. And God said, they are the ones to achieve success. They are the ones to achieve. I want to kind of interject something here before concluding with my last note is going to be on democracy and the New World Order. How we should see that. But I want to interject something here. Something occurred in the Nation of Islam. I'm talking about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, satirical Nation of Islam. Something occurred in it. The element for that occurred was the emphasis on the Bible more than on the Quran. The Bible was seen as the sacred book, but there was more emphasis on the Bible and on using the Bible in our certain lectures and in our invitation to others to come to Islam, and it was on the Quran. Okay, so this conflict here, emphasis on the purity of the Quran and emphasis on the usefulness of the Bible for bringing our people from what we call the middle dead or from the graveyard, and the dislike for the cross as a symbol and the love for the crescent as a symbol. And some of us now, we value the crescent more than we value the Quran. Who identify with Farad and all of Elijah Muhammad, I'm inviting all of you to listen to what I'm saying and come out of that conflict, put down the Bible as your guide, stop using it to convert people, use only the Quran, lead the Bible to Christians. And I'm inviting you also to take your symbols out of your preaching. The prophet never had a crescent with a moon and star in him when he was preaching. That developed much later. Our religion is not about a moon and star. Our religion is about everything God created. I know what you say, oh, yes, he, the moon and star. The sun, moon, and stars, and everything. I don't believe that. You can't prove that to me. Sun, moon, and stars, not everything. But we were told that sun, moon, and stars, freedom, justice, and equality. You know what we were told? Yeah, say the sun, moon, and stars stood for freedom, justice, and equality. Now, you may say that's everything, but I don't think so. You will not have the sun, moon, and star before you have Allah. Get Allah. You have something that will give you the sun, moon, and star. You won't have to make no big deal of it. Democracy. I've come to be seen as a person who really loves and appreciates this brand of democracy we have in the United States. And I do. But more important for me, as a Muslim and as a citizen of this country, is that I appreciate this democracy because this democracy recognizes God above the nation and credited God with his vision for the life of this nation, with his vision for this idea we call democracy. It credits God. I shouldn't have to remind you of the language that's used, but I will. We hold these truths to be self-evident. And it goes on to say that man is created by a creator. And it goes on to say that that creator has created man with rights that no one can take away from him. It says we hold these truths to be self-evident. That forms not only the introduction to the concept of this nation, it forms the basis to the concept of this nation. It forms the heart of the concept of this nation. It forms the spirit and lifeblood of the concept of this society, this democracy. And because of that, I appreciate it. And no language like that was used before the Quran came to Muhammad, the last prophet. The great fathers, the great Greek philosophers, they did not come up with any such language. And though the civilized Christian society of the West value them and credit them with much of the language or the design of this democracy we have, we know that they themselves call those people heathen, pagans. And they don't want us to go back to ancient Greece with our life and our society. And it was not Greece or the philosophers, the great mind of Greece, that brought them to see this new concept, this wonderful concept of freedom or democracy. It was the revival of the sciences, the translations and work of study work that was done on Greek philosophy by Muslims who extracted the best and threw away the worst, who extracted what could be used and threw away what could not be used. They extracted what was compatible and useful in the forming of the ideas that already was, I would say, pointed to or implied in the teachings or in the revelation, the book we call Quran, and in the life of the Prophet. See, the life of the Prophet Muhammad, we have to understand this too, brothers and sisters. Prophet Muhammad was not just a teacher of faith and religion. Prophet Muhammad also taught sciences. He taught sciences. He gave scientific explanation for things to individuals. This is reported in his teaching, in his word. And he promised us that if we follow him, he would lead us to the fount of abundance. To the fount of abundance. So Muslims, let us appreciate American democracy because American democracy recognizes a creator and actually sought to design its idea for its society with respect for what was intended by the Lord God creator. That's why we appreciate this democracy. We don't appreciate the permissiveness in this democracy. We don't appreciate that this democracy gives the same freedom to a criminal that it gives to a decent citizen, the same freedom now we know that the law will catch him one day and take it away from him, but the law will let him go and go and go, and while he's not locked up, he is criminalizing us, our families, our children. He is making hell for us in our neighborhood. So to say that drinking is legal, drinking alcohol is legal, they say narcotics is not legal, right? But the drug alcohol is legal. To me, that's a contradiction. Now, we know by saying drugs are illegal, you don't stop people from using drugs. And if they would say alcohol is illegal, they won't stop people from using alcohol. We know that. And the society will agree that if people are just using alcohol in small quantities and not making a lot of problems, We will agree. We won't be upset because those people are not locked up. Prophet Muhammad didn't seek every person that took a drink and locked them up. He didn't do that. But for the sake of us having a healthy morality, a healthy human moral nature and morality conscience, we need our society to be honest and truthful and consistent with this idea of what is right, what is virtue, what is moral. To be consistent. Alcohol is doing a lot of harm to society. We don't want to go back to the days of prohibition. Don't go back to the days of prohibition. Do it this time the right way. Just say it's wrong and leave people alone. And catch them only when they violate or make a big problem. Don't go around hunting and sneaking in the backyard, see who's making liquor. That's what created all the problems. The way they treated it created all the problems. And they did that so they could justify making it legal again. They only made it illegal because there was strong moral Christian pressure on them to make it illegal. So as soon as they got the law passed, then they went set out to make the law of none effect by raiding the homes and all that stuff. They created the problem to make the law change back and make alcohol legal again. So we can do it. Let's make it legal again. You say, "Brother, ma'am, but you accept this country the way it is." You are wrong. No conscious American citizen accepts the country the way it is until it gets the way we think God wants it. We ain't satisfied with them serving liquors in this country. And a whole lot of things that this country allows that we're not satisfied with. We're free citizens of this country with equal citizenship. So if we ourselves want to see change in this country, we shouldn't wait for Christians to do it. Let us work for those things. But let us do it with strategy, with patience, with intelligence. Let us argue and debate with them in the way that is most intelligent and excellent. And let us have patience to see the society change its mind. And laws will be passed. Already there are small communities in the United States where liquor drinking is outlawed. Already. So don't think that this is impossible. There's a lot of other things we want to do. We want to make this a better America. Now, leaving democracy and coming to the expression New World Order. How should we see that expression New World Order? We should see it as the advocates of New World Order, the people who announce the New World Order see it, and we should also see it with our own eyes or through our own knowledge, with our own knowledge. I believe that when they speak of the New World Order, they are telling us that economic conditions and the closing in of the population, the problems that we share internationally, have taken the priority off of national life and national purpose and security, and has put it on international life, international purpose, and international security. And the whole global community now has become more important than any of its segments, even the great United States of America. I believe that's what they're trying to tell us. And that we'll now have to compete as industrialists, as educators, as business people, whatever. We have to compete now, not in our own limited context, United States, but we have to compete now in the international community, international context, global context. I believe that's what they're saying. I accept that. I believe that. I believe that is a natural urgency that God has created to force man to say, La ilaha illallah, and to say that man is one community. Allah says that to us in the Quran. One God, one community. But I also think we should see the New World Order as a world order where the individual is going to be established in society. What do I mean by establishing the individual in society? establishing the individual in society as a conscious member or citizen in society with responsibility for upholding his life and everything in his possession, or under his authority. This is what the law requires of us, and that time is growing upon us. We can't escape it. We cannot excuse people now and say, oh, they're ignorant or they're poor. No, we have to educate them. If they're ignorant, let's educate them. If they're not informed, let us inform them. We can't make them rich. The way to make them rich is to give them a better mind, to give them a better sense, to give them what God intended to be in their brain. Give that to them, and they'll become more responsible, and they'll become more supportive of the whole life of the society. And that individual, establishing individual in society, means that that individual is entitled to his share in the international world, his share in the international resources. All of us won't get it. God offers everything to all of us, and then he favors some of us to be more fortunate than others so that we can get it and then share it with the rest. Well, let us believe in that. Let us believe in the great station that God has given the individual person. Individual person, man and woman, sister, you included. You're not out of this. Allah does not say the thinking men without also saying the thinking women. He says the thinking, speaking of our great virtues, of our great properties that he created us with. And he mentioned the power of thought, the extra power to exercise thought. And he says, and the thinking men and the thinking women. And he says the most productive tool is what? Tool of thought. Allah says that. And what did W.D. Group E.B. Dubois say? We will progress in the future to the extent we teach our children to think. So I have to conclude now. But I don't want to. I wish I could stay with you for all day and all night long. Peace be on you. As-salamu alaykum.
Today we have with us American Muslim Forum for Human Salvation. We are very happy, we are very proud, we feel honored. This is what Charleston has been waiting on for years, years and years and years. As many parts of America and throughout the world have been waiting on salvation, salvation, salvation. We feel very honored to introduce to you American Muslim spokesman for human salvation, Imam Waruddin Muhammad. Takbir. Takbir.
Peace be on you. As Muslims greet, Assalamu alaikum. We praise God, the one and only for us and all people. We witness that he alone is God and do worship. That is, worship is owing only to him. And we witness that Muhammad, the last prophet, the messenger of Allah, the mercy to all the world, is a mortal human being, messenger of God, and not a divine person, or not a God himself, but a mortal human being that God gave us as a model of our human excellence. We witness that he is the messenger of God, and we pray the prayers and the peace beyond him. Ameen. Let me first say that we are very pleased with our visit to this lovely and beautiful historical city of Charleston, South Carolina. And we are so pleased with it, so we are already making plans to come back with family members just for a week or two of relaxation and discovery. I have seen so many of your faces already that I know very well, especially the Imam. We want to say to you that we certainly appreciate the strong support that you give the Muslim community of America and our propagation efforts. We have a topic that we are very, very much interested in, not only for the Charleston and Muslim community, but also for the Charleston African American community, and for the really for the African-American community all over these United States. A few years ago, it came to me that our people have wanted a day in the calendar year to celebrate our life. We say our heritage, our ethnicity, and I'd like to say our life, our feet as a people. The excellence of that life, originating for us as a racial group on the mother continent, we call it Africa, and extending now into America, well established and growing in America, and we have to include the Caribbean and some other places. So we hope that one day we will be a part, not the leaders, but a part of an effort to celebrate the excellence of the African family tree, the excellence of our traditional life, at least one day yearly, a one day celebration. It was thought that we are interested in doing this as Muslims, and that was an error for which I'm partly responsible myself, I guess, because when we put things together, it's automatically expected that we are going to lay claim to it as being all ours. This desire is not all ours. And many other things that we'll be talking about today are not all ours. I'd like to greet that the African-American audience always has an honorable audience. And if there are any non-blacks or non-African-Americans in the audience, we definitely are greeting you too when we say honorable audience. And I like the term honorable audience because we have been people who have been dishonored, people who have been discredited or dishonored, people who have been really denied our inherent dignity during the ugly years on this continent and in the southern parts, especially in the southern parts of these United States, those years of slavery and after. In fact, it is only recently in the history of our people in America that we have started to believe that America is equally for us. We didn't believe that years ago. We thought that America was for white folks. We thought that America would never accept us as equal citizens. But thank God for good American people of all colors, and especially for the efforts of civil rights leaders and Garveyites and Honorable Elijah Muhammad's people, for the efforts of all those who protested that very strongly. We are grateful to them who made sacrifices too of life, money, and everything to bring about a better day for us in America. We're grateful to all of them for this change that we appreciate so much. But we have to realize that this has not been the case only in recent years. Only for our present young generation is this thing new. And the past is non-existent, But for us, the past does exist. And we believe, like many African-American leaders who are not all Muslims, we believe that if we forget that past, separate completely from that past, and not pass on to our children, this new generation of ours, the knowledge of what happened from Africa to America, we will be making a terrible mistake. I would like to mention also that I find it very pleasing to read in the profile that I was given by the imam who was sent to me, mailed to me, and also with the cooperation of my public relations people, especially Brother Marzouk Al-Jami, who's based in Dallas, Texas. That information to me was very helpful, and I was very pleased to read that most of the black, in quotations, black, most of us here are homeowners. And this is unique for us in the United States. You don't find that in, I don't know of any other place in the United States where that will be so. And also, I'm also very pleased to know that the African-American people are the black people who came from Africa, brought from Africa, we should say, as slaves, more correctly, we were brought from Africa in ships to be sold as slaves here and were sold in the markets here as slaves to the whites who needed slave labor. It's great, I think, for us to know that you were used in industry. Many parts, most of the parts of the South, we were used just as farm laborers and domestic servants. But here, I think you are very special for that, although I know a few other places, our people were used in industry. They were used to build constructions. They were used carpenters, bricklayers, iron workers. And they tell me much of the work that we look at when we go through the city of beautiful Charleston, we're looking at the work of African-American people. And it's gratifying, very pleasing also to know that of the 31% of the population that you represent also 30% of the workforce in beautiful Charleston. This is not to say that you're happy here. I know better. You didn't tell me that. I had to read about those things. I hope that you have patience with me. I don't intend to give a long talk, a brief talk. But have patience with me as I take my time and deliver this brief address. We Muslims believe that our first father, and I put first father in quotations and you will understand why, was created for obedience to God. God who made everything, all humans, all men, all women, in conjunction with that, we believe that as Muslims, we believe our first father was created to think production, to think establishment, to think progress, and to think security. We praise God, and we say Alhamdulillah. We praise God for revelation, for revealing through the prophet his plan, his purpose, and his direction for all human beings. And we accept that the Father for us, African Americans or black, is the Father for all people. Education for us is sacred.